So, fun fact, I ended up doing it.
What?
Performing the penis sound.
Oh, my God.
Because basically he was like, do you want to do it? Do you want to try? I was like, I've never done this before. You want me to do this to me? Love smorgasbord.
The more, the merrier.
It's why we're poly.
Well, everybody, welcome to another episode of Girls Gone Deep. I'm Elle.
And I'm V.
We have so much catching up to do.
So much.
So this weekend, you went to a daytime sober party, play party. And I'm so curious about that because all of my daytime play experiences have always been either on a group vacation with my friends or weekend getaways at a house party also with my friends. I have never been to, say, like you said, like I don't want to call it stranger party, but just maybe a party with random people and new people in my city that I live in just to go to an event, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that the same for me.
So this is your first daytime party?
Yeah, besides the resorts that we go to, you know, and of course you have the opportunity to play throughout the day, but it's never number one sober, I would say, at resorts. Mm-hmm. And number two, it's never just like an organized time to play during the day. But this was specifically marketed as daytime playtime, a sober play party with a big educational component to it, which I loved because I was there with Holly and Jay and Holly's partner. So we were all there and I was so excited about all these workshops and Holly was like, you are horny for knowledge. And I was like, that needs to go on a t-shirt. So that might be coming in the future because I'll be wearing it.
I would wear that too. That hits my sapiosexual trigger.
Yes. You
know, in a good way.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because it created an interesting dynamic because I am someone who is horny for knowledge, but there are some people who, you know, might not have really realized how much of an educational component there was to it. And so it was a very different vibe than a typical play party. So
when you say educational, like, was there a topic that you knew that was going to be discussed beforehand? And like,
yes, there were many workshops. And how I pictured it was, you know, if you're in a really big sex club, there's a space where the mini workshops can be happening, but then play can be happening elsewhere or all around or whatever. How it kind of shaped up to be was that the mini workshops were happening right in the middle of the whole space. And so they told us at the beginning that, you know, we were welcome to participate or not, to play during them or whatever. But it just so happened that no one really did play during them because of the way that the space was laid out. And it would have been really distracting to be playing and try to block out the workshop and vice versa. If I had been in the workshop and someone had been playing, it would have been in full view and that would have been very distracting.
Well, like we always say, if you're in a play space, it better be dirty time. And that would have been a fucking boner killer for me.
Totally boner killer. But yeah, so I was fine with it. And I would say I'm going to go through a couple of the workshops that I attended, but we did get a little bit workshopped out by the end. And so even me, we did end up going like into, there's one room that's a little bit more set apart, even though the doors are always open. And we were able to kind of shut out the workshop in there and then find a little bit of places, but I'll tell you a little bit about that as well. But I want to start with going into a daytime sober play party. I knew it was going to be daylight, but this space, this particular space, and I love the company that runs it. It's Hit Me Up, and they're a very inclusive party in New York City that I highly recommend everyone look up. I really love them, and I've been to the space before, but not in full daylight, and they do not have curtains. And so it was fully lit, full sunlight.
And what was everybody wearing? Like, was everyone in sexy clothes and in lingerie or were normal clothes?
Yes. So basically the invite said, you know, come as you are and how you want to feel sexy. And so I kind of just dressed up like I was going to like a Sunday brunch, let's say, and then had my sexy lingerie on underneath. So I wore my brunch stuff for about 15 minutes and then I stripped down to lingerie, which a lot of people did.
Wait, and how many people were at this event so I can get a gauge?
I would say maybe 50 tops.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it was pretty small as far as play parties go.
I think that's big, actually. I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
As far as New York City play parties,
I would say.
Yeah. So, because like, for instance, the mattresses were never filled up. And I would say there were like, you know, 10 to 15 mattresses. And I've been to play parties where like every single mattress is full, every single surface is full. And, you know, people are fucking in shifts basically and like fucking on top of each other.
Waiting in line.
Exactly. So this was more intimate, let's say. And I did find when it got to playtime that people kind of stuck more to themselves. And I've been at other play parties. So it's hard to say with a lot of my takeaways from this, whether it is because it was daytime, because it was sober, or if it was just like the vibe of the event. I'm sure it contributed to it, but, you know, caveat, everything that I experienced here, I've also experienced at nighttime parties and parties that have substances at them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was a little bit nervous going into it with nobody drinking and very blatantly so. So like on the invitation, it said you will be asked to leave if we see you, you know, partaking in any kind of substances.
Mm.
So that was honestly an equalizer, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
I was nervous at first, but they had some really great non-alcoholic cocktails that they were serving. And, you know, that's always done me well. But having everyone be on the same page and not drinking really felt nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt there's a level of consciousness that's there that is not what you get at other parties when there's drugs. We always talk about how we want conscious consent, presence, you know, full authenticity of self, and you were in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to save this question for later, but I'm wondering if your play, you know, if any of that kind of this contributed to a different style of play and what you noticed there.
I will answer that question when I get to it.
But you said it leveled the playing field. Everybody was on the same page.
Yeah. And I just felt somehow like it was easier to be sober when I know everyone else is, because I always go into these parties with a little bit of a level of like, I'm going to be an other if I'm not drinking and stuff. So it was nice. It was leveled out. So I found that I spoke to a lot of people, not even in a sexual way. So that could be a difference that perhaps could be seen as negative to people who are like, I came to this party to fuck. Like, but me, you know, I was happy to speak to everybody sober. And I think that it had a little bit less of a flirtatious feel than nighttime parties with alcohol. So we go into the consent speech, which the host, Lola Jean, gave, and she is the world record holder for most volume squirted at one time. And she's really great, really well-spoken, great sex educator. So she did the consent speech, and it was not your average consent speech. Hmm. And so typically, you know, you just hear the usual, like, no means no, da 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 da. She gave us an activity to do. Ooh. So there was a saying no exercise. And so she asked us to walk around the space and make eye contact with everybody. And when you feel it, when you're making eye contact with them, just say no. And all you could say in this exercise was no. And so at first it was very awkward. Everyone was like, no, no, no. But then, like, as we were going, it got more comfortable. And afterwards she was like, tell me what that did for you. And we talked about how, number one, obviously, you're practicing saying no. The more you say it, the more comfortable you feel saying it. Mm-hmm. No one died from rejection. You know, this obviously wasn't like real rejection. However, you didn't die from hearing the word no. So yeah, we're all going to survive it if someone says no. Also, if someone makes eye contact with you at a play party, it is not an invitation for sex. Mm. Making eye contact is just making eye contact. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take it a step further and start talking with them, you can. But have you ever been in a situation like that where, like, you make eye contact with someone and you feel like they took it as an invitation to start flirting with you? And it's like, I just walked past you and eyes met for a moment.
Right. Well, starting making eye contact is like that invitation to – I've never been hit on instantly, but it is like, hey, how are you? And they want to have a conversation. I unfortunately – well, not, it's not unfortunate. It's a good thing I do this. But when I look at people, even if it's a stranger, I tend to smile. It's just like always on my face. And this is what people at Hito always said to me. It's like, you're always walking around smiling. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. Like, I'm just showing it, you know, but I do that. So I think that that's inviting for people to talk to me, and that helps conversation flow. So yes, eye contact does initiate conversation. Do they always hit on me? Not always, but I'm sure, like, you know, in the back of everyone's mind, we're all there for sex. So they're maybe hoping that that will turn into a sexual experience.
But I find saying no is really hard for me. And I agree. I'm someone who smiles at strangers. If I make eye contact with you, I'm going to be friendly enough to say, like, hello. But that doesn't mean that I want to spend more time talking to you necessarily. Mm,
I agree that sometimes I am stuck in conversations that I don't want to be in, and yeah, my politeness keeps me there, and I'd rather be leaving, you know?
Yes.
And it's hard, yes, because I also am very cognizant of, like, I don't want to be looking around the room and, like, visibly showing that I'm not interested. I'm very aware of that. Like, I'm trying. So if I'm speaking with somebody, I'm giving them my full attention until I can find a way to, hey, I got to go to the bathroom, or, hey, I haven't found my partner in a bit. I'm going to go find out where he is, and just coming up with something to get out of it. Or if I see somebody, try to snag them into the conversation as my way to get out of it eventually too. So I yes, agree. If anyone's got any tips yeah, for that, please let us know.
Please let us know. So another really fun takeaway from this exercise was, she was like, you get an opportunity to cruise people. Like, I'm literally asking you to walk around the room right now at the very beginning and look at everybody. Mm. And so you can kind of make mental notes too about who you want to approach later on. This is awesome. She's literally giving us this permission to do that.
Yeah.
So it was a really fun icebreaker exercise in the consent speech. And then we went into an embodiment mini workshop, and people were still kind of trickling in at this point. So this one was a little bit more, it was very chill. It felt like, it felt very yogic. So it was two people, and I'm sorry, I did not catch their names. But they let us in a little bit of a meditation where we were asked to think about what our intentions were coming into the space.
Can you share what the intentions were?
We had just done a just like movement exercise where, like, we could close our eyes and just, like, move in our body and, like, feel ourselves. And I felt like until one or two people started being more vulnerable with their movements, other people were very small with their movements and were not, they didn't feel safe to, you know, really push their own limits. And I felt that too. And so
Because you guys were sober.
It's because we were sober. Totally. Exactly. And so I decided that my intention was to push my own limits at the outset of anything I'm doing today to give others permission to do that as well. Mm-hmm. And I was able to, and I loved setting that intention. And I think that's a really great takeaway because, like, think about how many situations you've been in where until someone else does the thing that everyone's afraid to do, no one will let go. And, like, it always takes someone to be the impetus the fire to get starter. An orgy going. Yeah. And like, exactly. So that was my intention. And I felt like that was a really great way to break the ice if you're into that kind of shit, which, of course, we are. We love that shit.
Well, so far what I'm loving about these workshops is it's really the application of the tools, right? We constantly – there's knowledge all day, every day. You can Google anything you want to know. You can read all the books in the world. But until you actually practice it, you do it, you feel it, and you experience it is really when you learn and become better and I guess more set in your boundaries and your desires and all of that when you practice it. So I love so far that everything has been activity driven.
Yeah. And additionally, in this mini workshop, they talked about consent and using your no and informed consent. So what questions to ask when you are speaking with someone new and a potential play partner and what that would look like. And they role played it for us. And I thought it was a good conversation. So for example, they just shot the shit a little bit. And then one of them said, "So I'm really enjoying talking to you. And I think you're really beautiful. I'm wondering if you would be interested in playing at some point today." And she was like, "That could be in the cards. Just so you know, my situation is XYZ. I typically play with my partner. So getting that in there, and that's your opportunity to do so. What's your situation? Oh, I play separately from my partner, et cetera, et cetera. Something else you should know is that I was just tested on Monday and all the results came back negative. So we're good to go. I also took a COVID test if that's something you're worried about too." Mm. And so, you know, just really being upfront and modeling that language for us. And I feel like, you know, in theory, we're all like, "Oh, we know what to say. We know what to say." But it's helpful to have that. It's very 101 basics, but it's helpful to be reminded of how to have those conversations. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that it's so important to, like, thinking about it, like, this is not a sexy conversation to always get into, but I love the honesty and the upfront and direct language that's being used because it just takes away all the questions. And then, you know, these conversations are only a couple minutes once you can figure out what you guys are both into and interested in and what your boundaries are. And then boom, you're done. And next thing you know, you forgot that you had that little, I don't want to call it like a professional conversation, but like a more adult, non-sexy conversation. And then you're off
non-sexy
to flirting.
Conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're off to flirting and having fun because now you know that you guys have the same interests. So then you become more attracted to that person because now they're in alignment with your desires and you have the same interests. So I think that it does eventually promote more attractiveness to another person. So
yeah, I agree. Awesome. And there's no question once you do start playing of like what the boundaries are because you've said them.
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to like getting sexy, being flirty, starting to touch, and then being like, "Oh, wait a minute. Let's have a quick conversation about what you're into and what you're not into and what's allowed." And that would probably be worse to like interrupt a sexy moment with a lot of questions.
Yes. Amen. Absolutely. So that was a really great little mini workshop. During this, like I said, a lot of people elected not to participate, but at that point it was still quite small, like maybe like 25, 30 people at that point. And so people were just watching if they weren't participating and having their little side conversations on the side. So like Jay was speaking to someone cute and I was like, "Oh yes, go do that, babe. And let me do my – And, you know, I saw in the back room where they have BDSM stuff, there was a man who had a weight, like a metal weight, I don't know the proper term for them, tied to his cock and balls.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, and then he started walking around the party with it, and it was like dangling between
like
his legs.
Like swigging around.
Barely swinging because it was so heavy.
What?
And that was the first time I've seen something like that. I mean, it's cock and ball torture.
Yeah.
He was soft, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And a little more on that later because I interacted with him in a bit. So I'll tell you that after I tell you about this next workshop. I'm kind of going through it chronologically because I think that's the best way to organize this conversation.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah, holy smokes. I mean, like how long are these workshops? Like
15 minutes.
Okay.
15 minutes
okay.
each.
Yeah.
But it was the play party was from 1 to 7.
Oh,
and
shit.
And we got there at around 1:30.
Wow.
And so I don't know what time it was, but maybe it was like 3 o'clock by the time this, because there were little breaks in between too.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 o'clock by the time this workshop was, and this was a sensation play workshop, which was really fun. She was a wonderful educator who we will be having on the podcast, and she was wonderful. And she said, I spoke to her afterwards and she was like, yeah, I'm a consent educator, but you know, I taught this workshop on sensation play because I love sensation play. And it really came across. And, you know, she just told us about every single instrument she had in her like suitcase of instruments. And she went through
like what?
Temperature play.
Yeah.
So temperature play, you know, you can put knives in the freezer. So not just using knives, right? But using, you know, a butter knife that you find in your kitchen or a wooden spoon that you find in your kitchen, but then changing up the sensation of that thing by making it hot or making it cold. Right. And then juxtapositions between hot and cold things or soft and hard things. So like at one point she put on a vampire glove. So a vampire glove, for anyone who doesn't know, is like a glove.
Yeah.
And the palm side is going to have like spikes on it, basically.
Yes.
So if you graze your own skin or someone else's skin very lightly, it can be very pleasurable, send you tingles. You can graduate all the way up to, you know, slapping someone with it or slapping them and then dragging your hand so that it draws blood. So
M likes to use it as a back scratcher. That's why we use it.
That sounds so dangerous. Like if you go a little bit too hard, it is a ripped up back, dude.
They're not that, at least the ones that we have, they're not that sharp. I've never drawn blood with it, but I'm sure that there are super sharp ones that could.
That's the one that I saw on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
It was very sharp. So, and then the other side of it, you know, you can juxtapose it with like rubbing the back of your hand along the person's skin and they feel that soft, buttery leather, you know? And another thing she talked about was just breath. If you don't have, you know, a lot of tools at your disposal, which foreshadowing, we didn't at one point and we wanted to implement some sensation play. So breath is always at your disposal. So, you know, you can make it hot, like, or you can blow really softly and make it cold. You can lick the neck and then blow on it. And that really creates a cooling sensation. So just little things, you know, little tips and tricks. Again, these were all very like basic 101 level workshops, but that's all you can really do in 15 minutes anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But I love the temperature play because it makes me think about sometimes when I am playing with M and if I'm, you know, doing a really intentional hand job, blow job situation, I do a lot of teasing in the beginning where if his boxers are still on, I put my mouth on his cock and then I'll breathe heavy and hot through his pants so he could feel the heat, and I'm just teasing him and rubbing before I take it out. Or like, even if I'm giving him a blowjob and I'm, or not a blowjob, more of like a hand job, where I will put my mouth so close to the head and just breathe on the tip as I'm stroking him, but not actually touching him. And oh my gosh, it drives him nuts. Like, just, he starts to like grind his hips forward, like trying to bring his dick closer to my mouth. And I'm like, no, like, you can't do that yet.
Yeah. What do you think of temperature play? I'm not in love with cold. I've enjoyed hot wax before and massage oil, but
yeah, I don't really care for temperature play, whether it's hot or cold. I think that cold is more of a, I don't want to call it like a, what do we call it? Like a shock value, where you're like, ooh, you know, like putting it on your nipple. But when it comes to pleasure though, everything needs to dilate and you need more blood flow. So for me, adding something cold is going to constrict everything and take away. So I don't prefer it. And hot stuff, like I've used those like warming lubricants. I really don't like those at all. Yeah. I don't know what it is about them, but it's not my jam. So I am just no hot or cold. I'm good. Just keep it regular.
Good to know. And that was another thing that the facilitator mentioned. She was like, the cool thing about pleasure is like basically – you like it or you don't, and your body will tell you. So her bottom in the workshop, you know, who she was doing everything on, first of all, she put a blindfold on her so that she could just like really feel the sensations. And she had goosebumps at certain points and like other things. She was like, nah, that's – it's fine. It's not anything special. So, you know, the facilitator would move on to the next thing. And she also said, and I find this very important to impart, is there's a place for non-sexual acts in kink, right? It doesn't always have to be sexual. And, you know, we've talked about this before with my dom. A lot of it didn't feel very sexual for me, although it was a lot of sexual acts, but like the spanking and stuff felt more just like therapeutic. And like, I wasn't, you know, orgasming at all with my dom. It was about the other stuff beyond it. So with sensation play, it can be the same, you know, just giving a memorable experience, an experience where someone is just being vulnerable with you. Because if you are letting someone, you know, touch you anywhere or within boundaries, obviously, but it, you know, you're giving yourself over to someone. And so that can be a really healing and interesting experience.
Absolutely. Being very submissive. And I add to that, like really being fully present in your body and spending time practicing that is very relaxing and healing in and of itself.
We spoke about this on the Jacqueline Michelle episode. I think it was episode 59. And she talked about, you know, embodiment after disassociation, you know, just touching yourself, just caressing your body, just allowing yourself to feel it. And if, you know, you've experienced trauma and going lower than your collarbones starts like that anxiety kicking in, go back to those collarbones and just hang out there if that's all you can handle, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same with the sensation play. It's like, you know, if all you want is just gentle caresses, then cool, just do that. But then it's a really great exercise to see, you know, how deeply you can feel things, I think. Mm-hmm. So last good takeaway or nugget that she gave was when doing sensation play, you're going to feel the most wherever you think about getting a tattoo on your body and it's the most sensitive. Mm. So you want to focus on those places with sensation play. So she focused a lot on the spine, a lot on the neck, wrists, and like inner arm. That's really good for sensation play. Tops of the feet, if you're into that, you know. So just
these are spots I would never even consider. Like, you just kind of think of the general areas that people would go to, which is like the main areas, your butt, your breasts, the genitals, and But now that you're saying that, I like soft tickles. I am not like a pain person or scratchy. I don't like that stuff. I like tickles. And I really like the back of my arm done, you know, where like your tricep is, or like on the inner part of your forearm and inner arm. Those are really sexy spots. But the wrist I never thought about, for sure. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So that was a great workshop, and Holly and the Explorer arrived kind of during that time, during that workshop. And we started like touching each other, and she invited everyone to kind of like, you know, experiment also with intensity. So like, you know, graze your fingers over your partner. Okay, now scratch. Mm-hmm. Okay, now lightly scratch. Okay, now really intensely, and like knead their skin with the pads of your fingers. And how do all of those different sensations feel to them, you know, and respond to their responses, right? So you should be giving verbal responses.
So wait, which one did you like? I mean, because you
all of it.
So you were giving and receiving.
Giving and receiving. And we were just like stroking each other's forearms at this point. And I honestly, I loved it all. I think there's a place for all of it. But, you know, I apparently am someone who likes, you know, sensations, as we know with my spanking. I like thuddy and I like stingy. So I think there's a place for all of it. Yeah. As you stroke your forearm, what are you into?
Yeah. So I like soft tickles. And so, you know, so feathers, anything like that, like grazing flogger tails along the body. I still like fuzzy, especially if we're doing spanking or impact play. But when it comes to sensation, I'm more soft and not painful. And it makes me think about the one time M had me in the sex swing and I was blindfolded and we did sensation play. Did I tell you this story before?
I don't know.
I don't think so. So we have a couple different floggers. Some are small, but we had like a small one that had, I would say like, oh, how do I describe it? They were almost like rubber bands. Like if you pulled on it, it would slingshot back, and it was, you know, round, and it was that kind of a small flogger. Does that
like rubbery kind of,
yeah, like
silicone?
Yeah, like almost like spaghetti noodles. Like it was like thin spaghetti noodles that were black rubber. And at the time that he was using it on me, I didn't know what it was, but he spent a good couple of minutes just grazing the tail of that flogger all over my body. And it was very light sensation, to the point where I didn't know what he was using. I had no idea. I thought he was actually holding a vibrator or a magic wand and literally just skimming the top of my skin with a vibrator. And I'm like, how is he able to do that right now? This feels like a little bit like electrifying in a good way, like this vibration. And then he eventually got close to my face. And that was when I was able to tell what it was, once I felt it on my face. And I was like, oh, it's that rubber flogger. Like, wow, that was incredible that I thought it was a vibrator. So it's amazing how your mind plays tricks on you when you can't see what you're feeling and you're relying on pure sensation. So, but just to answer your question, I'm much more of a soft, sensual, light grazing type of a play as opposed to pain. So so
and then like of course it veers into electro play, and you know, there's so many different implements that you can do. But okay, so that was a really nice like segue into like starting to touch each other, and Jay came over and joined us, and there were more workshops that went on after that, everything from play fighting to possessive touch. There was a shibari or rope bondage workshop, but unfortunately that was the last one. And by that time we were like workshopped out, and like that was one that we really would have wanted to do, but didn't get to it because we ended up going back into the back room. And that's where the BDSM stuff was. And we, you know, started talking to people, and someone was getting flogged. And, you know, we were just kind of walking around and observing different things that were happening. So one thing that was happening was a man was getting a urethral sounding.
Oh my
which
God.
Which is
crazy. I've always heard about this, and I'm so excited for you to explain this.
Yes, me too. I was like, I need to see this. I need to know more.
The infamous penis sounding.
Yes. So for anyone who doesn't know, this penis sounding, it falls under the larger umbrella of medical play because it is sticking tiny metal rods or something else, if you're into that, into the urethra. So the pee hole, basically.
Oh my God. Like how
and you can do it on men or
things.
You can do it on women. But most often it's with men, I would say, as far as like the research I've done and when we hear about it most.
Yeah.
But
how big are these things? How big are the rods?
So there was a kit that it was the dominatrix that she had. And, you know, it's kind of like our anal kits where it's like the small, the medium, the large. Mm-hmm. And he was on the large one. And apparently he's been doing this for years and years and years. Because, of course, you know me, I'm over there and I'm like, what do you get out of this? Like, what does it feel like? Tell me everything. And it was so funny because as she was, you know, performing the penis sounding on him, he's just talking away to people. And he's like, oh yeah, where are you from? I'm from here, born and raised. Da, 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 da.
I have so many like, questions now too. Was he hard?
So he was soft.
Okay.
And I asked him if he ever gets hard while having a penis sound done to him. And he said yes, but he was trying very hard not to at that moment because it's easier to perform a penis sounding when your dick is soft.
Okay.
Because it's more malleable.
So how far does this device get inserted?
So it can go all the way up to the bladder, apparently.
What?
Yes. Fun fact, I ended up doing it.
What?
Performing the penis sound.
Oh my God.
Because basically he was like, do you want to do it? Do you want to try? I was like, I've never done this before. You want me to do this
yeah.
to me? He was like, yeah, you can do it. Absolutely. Try it. That's what I'm here for. I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, the dominatrix walked me through it. First, I washed my hands and then I put on latex gloves. She gave me the rod and I think this was like a medium sized one. And she said, I've been doing this to him for the past like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. So it's going to go in really easily. But what you want to know is just kind of hold it above the penis, above the urethral opening, and it'll kind of go in by itself. Like let gravity do the work. Let it just kind of suck it in. It's kind of like a butthole.
Oh, wow.
And so I did, and I was probably a little bit more gentle than someone who really knows what they're doing. And she was right there with me. Like, it felt very safe. I kept checking in with him, like, does this feel okay? He was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, are you sure? Okay. She had a really fun trick for anyone who does enjoy doing this. So she said, number one, use lots of lube, obviously. And when she lubed it up, she put lube on her latex gloved hand in a little like mound. And then she twisted the wand, for lack of better term. It looks like a knitting needle if you want to picture something.
Oof.
So it's pointier or thinner on one end and thicker on the other end. So
okay.
It does get gradually thicker.
Okay.
And she twists it around in the lube so that it almost makes like spirals of lube around it,
mm-hmm.
like a corkscrew, basically, formation. And she said, for me, this is just a gauge of how far I'm going in to see like, okay, that's the next layer of lube. That's the next layer.
Oh, interesting.
Because otherwise it can be hard to see like
how far
you've gone in or not.
How long are these? Like as long as a straw? Like I'm trying to gauge like, you know, the description of
I would
the
say like
a
knitting needle.
Oh, so it's only like
a,
like your finger, like your pinky?
Oh, no. A knitting needle is longer. It's
oh,
like,
oh, that's
maybe
what,
the
yes.
size of like
a knitting
a
needle.
Forearm?
I was thinking of a different needle. Yeah. Okay. So as long. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So I held his dick and kind of like squeezed it so that the opening was open, and I held it above it, the thinner side down. And I kind of just let it get sucked in, and I pushed it, you know, little by little in, kind of like a butt plug. And I could feel it. If I squeezed his dick, I could feel the rod.
Oh, wow.
And how far it was down. And I was like, is this okay? He was like, yeah, that actually feels very pleasurable. That's really nice. And so I got it down to the base of the dick.
So you were holding it up so the head was facing the ceiling, essentially?
Correct.
I see. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So he's laying flat on his back on a massage table, and the penis is facing the ceiling. Yes. And then when I pull it out, she said it's helpful to twist it out and go really slowly. Again, like a butthole, you don't want to just pull it out. Mm. You want to do the same thing with a urethral sounding.
Wow.
So
it's so interesting because, like, when I hear penis sounding, it sounds crazy that this is what imagery that popped into my head. But you know those, like, music triangles that you hit? I feel yeah. like you inserted something in the penis and then you would hit it with something so that it would, like, vibrate or cause some other sensation in the penis hole that would, like, make it pleasurable. So when you asked him why he does this, what was his response?
He said it feels good. And I will tell you, I did not get to have as in-depth a conversation with him as I typically would want to, because I wanted to pick his brain. But unfortunately, there were a lot of people around, a lot of people he was conversing with about New York City and the 1960s and his Jewish grandmother fucking sounded. It was wild.
Oh my God.
So I was like, thank you so much for that experience. Goodbye. And then I just like walked away with my jaw on the floor. Like, did I just do that? Holy shit. But, you know, one of the things about that experience though for me was I did feel like I wish that he had been a little bit more present and paying attention to what I was doing, because as the top in that situation, I really wanted to check in with him more. And I had to kind of be like, hey, 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 like over here, is this okay? You know?
Yeah.
And obviously it was.
But yeah. But still, like, you was delivering it. You could have been done something differently, had more exploratory type of play with that, if he were more present to tell you what was going on and not working. So
yeah,
I get it for sure.
Yeah. So great experience. I would like to do it again in a more intimate experience and play with it more. For me, it did not feel very sexual. It just felt interesting, exploratory, and
curious. Yeah, you were in a different state of mind. So can you insert it when the dick is hard?
He said yes, but it is more challenging because obviously there's like a curve. And so, yeah, I have yet to experience that.
Okay.
And the minimal research that I did afterwards, you know, they were saying the stimulation of the prostate through the act of sounding is often, you know, one of the main benefits. So you can get all the way to that prostate and stimulate
it. Whoa.
Yeah.
See, for me, I mean, my experience with prostate play with M, you know, like when you stick your it finger inside from the anus, right, or the butthole, my understanding is the more of it that you can hit, like the flatter your finger is, like I'll use my middle finger, you can push more on the prostate and you can stimulate it more because you have more surface area.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about going from the inside with something that's a little bit more pointier and more precise, I'd be really curious to see how that feels like in person. Like, I want them to describe it to me because that doesn't sound pleasurable to me, but I also don't have a prostate. You know?
Well, and I think it also depends on your pain threshold and your sensation threshold, because hopefully it's not painful unless you like that. But, you know, yeah, your sensation threshold. And obviously this man had a very high sensation threshold because he was the same one with the weight dangling from his cock earlier in the day.
Yeah. Wow.
And then he was doing this and, you know, wasn't even paying attention while a newbie was, but so his threshold is very high, I would say.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you popped a cherry and now you can say yes to that horrible life card when it shows up.
You're the only person
I know so far.
That was so exciting to me. I was like, oh my God, yes, I can drink during horrible life. Yes, I have.
Your non-alcoholic drink.
My non-alcoholic drink. Exactly. So I'm sure everyone's waiting for the sexy details.
Yeah. How did it kick off and what happened? Because you had some pleasurable experiences that, you know, mm-hmm. I'm so curious to hear about, because I feel like the last time that we spoke, I mean, not the last time, but one of the few times, you said you've been in a bunch of play spaces, you were at sex parties, and you didn't have penetrative sex with anybody else. You'd only had sex with Jay for however many weeks it had been, or maybe even a month. And so I'm curious to hear about this event. So how did things kick off?
So first of all, that didn't change. I still only had penetrative sex with Jay.
Ah, okay, okay.
I'm such a prude, open person. A prude slut.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. But yeah, so we went into the back room after I did that. And so me, Holly, the Explorer, and Jay, and we were all kind of just like, okay, how can we get this party started? It felt like there were a lot of lurkers and voyeurs at this thing, like single men who were not respecting like watching boundaries. It really did take us out of it a lot, and we felt on display a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we were having trouble getting into it on a bed. And so we found this chair with a Hitachi wand that goes up through a hole in the seat of the chair.
Ooh.
And it was like a makeshift one, like that someone must have made it specifically for this space. And so Holly sat down in it, and we were like, ooh, let's do some sensation play. So we didn't have a blindfold with us. And so I just like grabbed the robe that I was wearing and tied it around her head. And she said that was really helpful with all the voyeurs to get out of her head and into her body. And so, you know, the three of us were just kind of like stroking her and caressing her and like kneading her thighs. And then I ended up sucking on her toes and licking her toes. Have you ever had that done to you?
Yeah, yeah. I have had toe sucking done. I've had it done in combination with me also getting my pussy licked. I've never just had my toes sucked. So I feel like I don't know if I would enjoy it on its own, but together it felt good because it was like warm and warm. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So was that your first time doing toe sucking? You've done it before?
No, I've done it before very sporadically, but I kind of just like felt it in the moment. And I just did it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I was my best self at this daytime sober play party. I was on fire, girl. I had 3 orgasms.
Well, you had.
Spoiler alert.
I know. That's amazing. Well, you had all that foreplay with all that knowledge, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So how did you have your orgasms? What was the situation?
So quick thing to finish the chair situation. So Holly, we were playing with her for a while. I went and tried to find tools to use on her, but we could not. So that's why we just used breath and licking and
Your hands.
And she had a great time with that. She also had some fringe on the end of her kimono. And so we were kind of like rubbing her with that a little bit and dangling that on her. So then she said, V, do you want an opportunity? And I was like, no. So I guess that means I should. So I did. And again, we, you know, blindfolded me, which was super fucking helpful. And it was a really great experience. I got super wet during that time. Mm. So then by the time I got off of the chair, we got onto another bed where they could not get out of their heads, but apparently I could, because I had my first orgasm. Ooh. Because I was so turned on by the chair situation that I then went over, we got our own Hitachi wand, and I started using it. I was making out with Jay. I was making out with Holly a little bit, and just a lot of touching. And I turned my body so that anybody who was watching, I couldn't see them.
Mm.
And so I wasn't blindfolded at that point, but tip, turn your body away so that you don't see the watchers.
Right. They're not in your field of vision. Yeah. It's a good idea.
So I came that time. And then I was like, guys, how's everybody else doing? Who else wants to come? And they were like, we're not into it. And I'm like, oh, didn't even notice. Where shall we go? So we go into another room where there's a couple of couches, and we started kind of, us two girls were kind of like straddling our men. And it ended up being, not purposefully, but just did, a lot of side-by-side play in our couples. And sometimes that's really fun, you know?
Yeah. Just to be with your own partner, but having all the sex happening around you. It's just a nice sexy vibe.
Yeah. And of course, Holly and I were like touching each other and kissing each other a little bit. And like,
well, you had also had like a lot of group play at this point, like touching and sensation and back and forth. And sometimes at the end of the time, you just kind of want to get back with your partner and just kind of come back to that connection.
Home.
Yeah, that homey connection.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I started giving Jay a blowjob and I was just like really into it, had a great time with that. And then I started riding him and I came on top of him because again, I used the wand while I was riding him. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about coming on top versus coming laying down?
Ooh, that's a really great question. I like them both. And I'll tell you why, because I squeeze when I orgasm. Like I'll purposely squeeze my pelvic floor muscles and my pussy. So even if I'm on bottom, I'm squeezing. So if I'm on top and I'm doing the movement, I'm actually squeezing. So it's the same for me. I prefer to be on the bottom because I like to, if I am laying down and relaxed, then I can enjoy the sensation of just the orgasm. Where if I'm on top and I'm moving and I'm, it's almost like an exercise, it's a workout. Like I don't get the full sensation of just the orgasm because of everything else that's moving and contracting at the same time. So
I completely agree.
I know what you're going to say because I feel like you don't prefer coming on top because you're going to like fall over and collapse or something. You know what I mean? Because you get so into your orgasm.
Yes. And so like I can't fully let go. So they're never my best orgasm.
Interesting.
And Jay's like, I'm not going to let you fall. I had you. And I'm like, it's just, it's a block in my head. And like,
so when you orgasm,
do you really have me?
Yeah. But like, so I mean, I've seen you orgasm before, but again, I've only ever seen you lying down. So do you just like go limp essentially? Like what happens to your body that you're afraid you're going to fall?
I think I'm bucking, you know, my body is like moving all over.
Like when you orgasm, does it cause this like super deep relaxation everywhere else in your body that you just want to let go? Or that's just how you have harder orgasms when you don't have to hold yourself up or use your other muscles?
I guess that's how I have harder orgasms when I don't have to hold myself up. But I would say like I arch my back a lot, which when I'm on top, you know, that could throw off the balance and I could kind of like fall over on Jay's face or, you know, whatever.
I'm just imagining you just like fucking on top, having an orgasm and just collapsing and like tipping over, falling
like,
over.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I just saw V over there. Where is she? Oh, okay.
But I do get okay, what you're saying. I mean, it's just for the same reason that I prefer to have an orgasm lying down as well. It's just a stronger orgasm. You can just have
you can let go.
Yeah, more into that sensation of the pussy.
Yeah. So I did that. And so that was my second orgasm. And then I was like, okay, who's next? And again, people were like, we're just not into it. We're not, we can't get out of our heads. And I'm like,
but yet you're all still playing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they were still playing like light playing, but like, it was a very interesting experience being the person who was not in their head and in their body. I was like, who am I? What is this? Is L like in my body right now?
Channeling through you.
Yeah. So Jay and I went and found like our own little like private spot and we started fucking and then there was a lot of like kind of distractions going on. So we kind of had to stop. So then the four of us finally found a private room where we were able to fully let go. So it ended up that Holly and I both kind of like laid on the bed with like our asses off of the edge of the bed and our men were standing and fucking us. And then they, I know this is, I'm whispering because I feel naughty, but the boys both pulled out of us and came all over our stomachs and tits. And I feel like it's bad sex club etiquette because it can shoot elsewhere. And I think that's, you know, messy and not respectful of the next people who are going to use that space.
I never thought it's either like that.
Come inside, come in a mouth, come in a condom, like have it more contained.
Interesting.
What are your thoughts?
I have actually never thought about this at all, period. But I think it's also because I haven't had a guy finish at a sex club. I'm sure I have. I just can't remember specific events or play situations where this has happened. But the one time I believe the guy was obviously wearing a condom, so that went there. But I never thought about not doing that. Like, I don't know. It wouldn't have crossed my mind to stop that from happening. I would have actually maybe encouraged it because I don't really prefer come inside of me unless it's M's, right?
Don't fuck with my pH.
Yeah, but you're totally right where it's going to shoot. But I also think that like if you're at a play party, if you're at a sex club, like come on, like it's already all over everything. You know what I mean? And that's why they wash the sheets and they take care of everything. And so as long as you clean it up after with a towel or whatever you got to do, but I'm not sitting there like squirting all over a mattress or blowing a whole load onto a mattress. But if a little bit gets on there, well, it's just, it's just a part of the process.
I am curious what other people think about this or like what your sex clubs and sex parties kind of enforce about this rule or don't enforce. Like, are they unspoken rules?
Well, have you talked to other people?
I don't even
about
know where
this?
I came up. Yeah. I don't even know where I came up with this. I feel like maybe Jay and I have talked about it before. And
all right, we got to put a poll up. I want to put a poll up. So the day that this episode releases, we're putting a poll up on this day for people to respond, because I'm super curious if this is a discussion that's been happening.
A thing.
Yeah, is this a thing?
Yeah. Well, so lastly, third orgasm, before he came, he like kind of flipped me over and was fucking me doggy style. And I was like riding the Hitachi wand. And it was a great orgasm because even though I was able to let go the first two times, there was an element of really knowing that we were alone in a room that I could really let go. And so that was a really, really great orgasm. And all three of my compatriots also orgasmed in that room.
Yeah, so eventually it happened. The magic, the stars aligned.
Yeah, so it was a really great daytime, playtime, sober party, and I cannot wait to go to the next one.
Okay, so you would do it again. That was
– abso-fucking-lutely. I don't know if Jay would.
Yeah, interesting.
I think it was just like the mix of people. I don't know if Holly and the Explorer would either. I didn't even like talk to them about it afterwards. Like we all had a great time, but like I don't know if they had a good enough time that they would go back. Like we all have talked about wanting to go to more workshops, but like now it's workshop time, not like workshop and play time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas for me, apparently that's
your recipe for sex.
For sex, exactly. So I look forward to going to the next one. So what about you? You have stuff to share as well.
Well, while you were doing all this stuff, because this was on a Sunday, we had a play date on Sunday too. So M got the Apple Vision Pro, which is the new augmented reality headset. But it's not like VR, like the Oculus. It's completely different, which I was surprised to understand once he got it. But he has this for work because he needs to use it to market and sell products. So to kind of describe the Apple Vision Pro, it is spatial computing is the way that it's described. So when you put it on, you see the room that you're in as it is. It's reality. But then you can click a button and what ends up happening is your iPhone apps pop up and then you can click on messages with your finger and you just kind of pinch your finger together and all of a sudden your message app opens up in the room that you're in. So if I could see my room, I could actually pinch the app and like move it to the right. Like say it's blocking the TV, but I still want it in my vision. I'll just move it to the right and it'll stay there. And I could still be interactive with reality. So it's spatial computing within your reality space. So it's kind of like having your iPhone or your MacBook in front of you. And so it's really interesting. So if I walked into, say, the bathroom and then came back to that same room, my messages app would be exactly where I left it in that room. Super cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So my jaw is on the floor. Yeah. That's so crazy.
So one of the coolest thing that this thing does is if you've ever taken a panorama picture, which I think they started coming out in the late 2000s, the new Apple Vision Pro will take all of your panorama photos and then it lays it out in your Apple Vision all around you. So you can look from the left and to the right and you are completely immersed in that moment as if you are truly there. It is so amazing how it brings you back to that space. Like all of these vacations that we took with our panoramas that I never thought I would look at again because it looks so weird on an iPhone now has an application with the Apple Vision Pro. It is super cool. But one of the coolest things about the Apple Vision Pro is that it is the first 3D camera. So we can take a 3D video and replay it on the Vision Pro and it's 3D. Like it puts you into it. It's not exactly the same as VR, but it is still 3D. It is so cool. So Em was like, we need to make some porn with this. Like we're going to record some porn videos. And we decided to record with it. The only phones that you can do this with, by the way, are the new iPhone 15s. When you go into the video app, there's this little button that pops up in the lower left corner that looks like it's like a circle with like a little set of goggles in there. And you click that button and that's how it will record in 3D. And so we did it. And so the one video we took, he was sitting on the sofa. I was on my knees on the floor and I was giving him a blowjob. And then we both rewatched it and put it on and holy smokes, it was like I had his point of view watching myself give him a blowjob. It was so hot and in 3D. It's hard to explain unless you actually try it. So this is super cool. But the one disappointing thing about Apple is they don't allow you to have 3D porn apps. Like VR, Oculus has the VR porn.
Yeah.
Apple does not support watching any kind of sexual content on their device unless you open up a web browser like you would on your computer or your iPhone and pull up porn that way. But it's just going to be the standard 2D that you see it in. They're not going to use their technology to make it 3D and advertise that at all or promote that or accept that use of that. So that's the only bummer about it. But for the homemade 3D porn, holy shit. Hands down, super cool.
The possibilities, dude. I can't believe how many gadgets and gizmos and toys that you guys have in that house for sex. It's just wild.
Always exploring. We're like little kids. And especially when it's technology, we're getting it. My husband, Em, he's like the first generation. If something comes out, he needs to have it. Where I'm like second generation. I'm not an early adopter. I like to wait till it's been out for a bit, optimize it, change it, improve it, and then I'll buy it.
Oh my God, can't wait to use it. Always find us at Girls Gone Deep Pod on Instagram. You can always email us at girlsgonedeep@gmail.com. Thank you to our sponsors, Elle.
Horrible Life. It's a card game of Have You Ever? All things sex and kink. You can get 10% off your first deck with code GONEDEEP. When you visit our website, see the show notes to get access to that link.
And lastly, don't forget to stock up on all your sexy supplies at woomoreplay.com. Click on the link in the description to use our affiliate link. That wasn't said well.
No, that was great.
Click on our affiliate link in the description while you're stocking up. We get a little kickback. So we appreciate you. We keep this podcast free and we want to find ways to make it our full-time job.
Yes, support us. we'll catch you all.